Russia has staged live fire exercises with troops and tanks near the Ukrainian border just a day after staging talks with the US in Geneva. American delegates have been urging Moscow to pull back an estimated 100,000 troops from near the border. But the Russian Defence Ministry says about 3,000 servicemen have started combat training, including mock battles in four regions of southwestern Russia. The drill suggests that the Kremlin has no real intention of easing the military pressure that has brought the United States to the negotiating table, where Moscow has presented demands for security guarantees from the West. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says it's positive that Monday's talks had been held in an open, substantive and direct manner, but that there was no real cause for optimism. And important to note that tomorrow, delegates from Russia and NATO are set to speak as well. Let's get more on this now. Emily Channel Justice is the director of the Temity Contemporary Ukraine program at Harvard University. She joined me earlier this morning from Boston.
It's always hard to say what's going on in terms of why Putin is making the decisions that he's making. My initial guess would be either that he is going to make some very specific demands at some of these upcoming meetings, especially with the United States. There's also a lot of talk going on about whether or not to use Nord Stream 2 and access to gas in Europe as a way to stop Putin. So my first sense would be he wants something really specific. The second sense is to kind of show he's still there. As you, I'm sure you've followed, there's been a lot of things going on in Kazakhstan as well that Russia's been involved in that might have thrown the calculation with Ukraine off a little bit. And so maybe it's also just a reminder that the manpower is still there, the troops are still there. This threat of invasion hasn't gone away.
Yeah, we've been following those developments in Kazakhstan closely as well. But just taking a step back as these talks go on, Emily, why is Russia so interested in Ukraine? What is this all about?
Well, Ukraine, the territory that makes up modern day Ukraine, has been part not only of the Soviet Union, but also of the Russian Empire. There are competing claims. Russia claims that the Kievan Rus, which is kind of the original state-like form that existed around the territory of Kiev, you know, Russia claims this as the origins of the Russian Empire. Ukraine claims this as kind of the origins of the Ukrainian state. So Russia, and especially Putin, we need to distinguish this, right? This is Putin's idea of the Great Russia. It includes the territory of Ukraine. And without that territory, that great idea about Russia that goes back through centuries, it can't really exist. So any claims that Ukraine makes toward independence, toward Europe, toward the West, toward NATO, they all threaten Russia's idea of how great Russia can be.
So given that, why is Vladimir Putin so concerned about NATO troops at Russia's border?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting example here because this has been on the table previously in regards to the Baltic states, right? It's not like this is the first time NATO has kind of become the center of conflict. Mm. I think really if Ukraine becomes part of NATO, or if NATO indicates a real intention to include Ukraine in the future, which it really hasn't yet, then Russia and Putin know that Ukraine is lost forever. It's also possible that Putin is kind of envisioning this idea of the Great Russia as a counter to NATO. And so any real movement of NATO threatens that calculation as well. To me, it's kind of not a surprise, but it's a little odd to be mad about NATO expansion now. NATO expansion to Ukraine, to Georgia, these have been on the table for years. It's not the first we're hearing of it. So it's possible also that Putin is sort of realizing that it seems pretty possible that Ukraine might become part of NATO. And so he's made these moves now. But it's not like this is some big surprise to Putin that NATO, you know, exists and works as a counterbalance to Russian threats.
Yeah, so I guess flowing on from that then, what will you be watching for, I think tomorrow, I believe, when Russia and NATO are set to speak?
Yeah, I am always looking for NATO representatives to say something definitive with regard to Ukraine. We know that Ukrainian leaders, especially Volodymyr Zelensky, the president, they have been very clear that Ukraine wants to be included in NATO. So I'm always looking to see if NATO leaders make statements that indicate that this is an option. What are the compromises they might be willing to make with Putin to make sure that there isn't an actual military incursion or military We can say invasion. We know Ukraine has already been invaded, so this would be a kind of increase in I don't know, re-upping of that invasion. So I think I'm looking to see kind of where Ukraine kind of comes out, because the other part of this is, of course, Ukraine is not really involved in this conversation, even though the conversation is about Ukraine. Nobody is actually saying, well, let's think about what Ukraine wants in regard to NATO. We know what Ukraine wants. Whether or not these leaders are going to indicate that they're interested in giving Ukraine what it wants is of interest here.
So taking a step back once again, American and Russian delegates, I mean, they didn't seem particularly optimistic after yesterday's talks in Geneva. I mean, what's the point then in these sorts of negotiations? Are they important and do they make a difference?
Yeah, this is a great question. I've been asking myself the same thing, actually, because I'm pretty convinced at this point that Putin's entire worldview is very different than the worldview of the people who are talking to him. And so it somewhat seems useless to try to convince him to respect territorial sovereignty, to respect democratic choices that countries like Ukraine are making. That's not going to happen. So these talks make me feel like Putin is getting what he wants. And I have a real fear that the more compromises are made that allow him to kind of set the tone and set the standard, that's going to be ultimately damaging in the years to come to institutions like NATO and to the European Union, to US-Ukraine relations, right? Because every time the US gives something up to Russia, that hurts Ukraine. So I would really like to see, you know, the United States especially and other Western leaders take a really strong stance for Ukraine without capitulating to Putin's demands. But I'm just not sure that's going to happen.
And this is all obviously highly speculative, but how do you see this playing out? I mean, do you have a view on that? Will the West agree to Putin's demands? Will he pull troops back from the Ukrainian border? Or will this continue to be an issue in at least the months to come?
I think it will continue to be an issue, not because Putin won't do anything. I think it's highly possible that Putin will make some small concessions that will not stop him from making these types of threats again, right? Even if he stops making demands, even if he pulls troops back, even if he stands down now, that doesn't mean that his desire to control Ukraine and to control the region more broadly goes away. So any kind of compromise that we see, it doesn't make me, maybe there's a little sigh of relief, but not a, you can't really put your guard completely down, I think, in this circumstance.
Emily Channel, Justice, there, Ukraine expert from Harvard University, joining me earlier from Boston.